Okay, this is the progress, except when it is the way to get them.
Now,
the telegraph, the issue is possible.
Yeah, okay.
But just before they start talking about the possible ways to injure that person, the first house, having heard of this, was going to the set. Okay. I'm sorry that I'm jetted in the lab that I like to talk about, he goes one end of the spectrum to the other.
Do you want me to say that?
Okay, here it is. In the paragraph preceding, talking about, where he talks about the injury because of this, and if anyone is trying to get one of hearts, I'll then okay. Reminding ourselves that we are saying, though, any aim, but never though, and they who are doing these two steps. Reminding ourselves that we are designed by aiming to find a spiritual experience. It's the first time we're told that the thing we're doing will result in a spiritual experience. We ask that we give them strength and direction to do the right thing. This is a prayer. No matter what the personal consequence may be to me, no matter. We may lose our positions, our reputation, or face failure, but we are still with you. We have to, we must not sink at either. Now, I'm believing that is one of the single most positive statements to make all of them back in the house. So, you don't have your books with you, we need one more time. We remind ourselves that we have decided to go to anything to find spiritual experience. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing. No matter what the personal consequence may be, we may lose our position, our reputation, or face failure, but we are still with you to do these things. Restitution. We have to be, we must not sink at either. Now, in the very next paragraph, is what we start talking about. You know, the next paragraph, the name of something, start losing its zest over with that one. Usually, however, other people are involved. Therefore, we are not to be a hasty and foolish martyr who needs to sacrifice and save himself from the altar. Okay, now that's our caution. We don't blindly rush into a situation that causes us great injury just to save ourselves from practicing alcoholism.
Then it goes on page 8, and says that it gives the reference of advice in the literature to make a man to not become that to jail. But he says, to take those risks again, to stand before his creator, guilty of such blatant slander. He thought that he had to put his outcome in God's hands, or he would soon start drinking again, and all would be lost anyway. So, you do? Don't worry about consequences. These results up to God. On one day, they run, I think that's the reason for Al-Anon, is that our design of living is Al-Anon is free. It is as good as the Bible says. I think that is maybe the beginning of Al-Anon right there.
It says that before taking drastic action, which might be clear legal, we secured their consent. No, that except to do so would injure them or others. But it says here, if we sincerely believe that there's a possibility that in making this decision about a certain thing or ask, that they can link to those things and get them told to. It is so vital that we get this done, their next thought is just as good as they will. There's nothing I've got to do. I've made a decision for this thing you have to engage in together. I ask you for your permission when you tell my part of this, even if it's before taking drastic action, which I implicate other people, we secure the consent. If we have obtained permission, have consulted with others, and ask God to help, and the task itself is engaged, we then must not shrink. But whatever. And it goes on in about 2 minutes, that we read from it. And it tells us that if we are faced with a jail sentence because of restitution, that we must not shrink from it, but whatever. Now, again, this is one of the steps that are back into verse 3. And as long as there are things that stand between us and our total freedom, we need to each in the right of them, because the ultimate goal of this, you know, that we're looking for, is absolute and total freedom in our lives and in our treasure, as we love before. And no, you will forever be held in bondage as long as one more thing, one more condition has to be met before your chances. And I'm not telling you that there's anyone among us who has met all of these things in our existence. But I will tell you that I know hundreds and hundreds of people that are slowly chewing away, and they're closer to this goal offer every day of their life, and right inside of them. And I need to dig it right myself. And in my past, there is not one thing that I know of that I need not make restitution for. And I know that I'm fortunate that I don't have a little piece of that here on. But I wish I could go ahead and do that, but boy, I don't know what it was before that. You know, when I first came to AA, there were several things that I thought I better not go with other people. But as I have come to a deeper understanding of my own individual and personal needs, I have found that there is not one thing in my life that I have ever done that in making restitution for that was truly hurt someone else. But I am positive that there are others who don't do this right now for a just reason, if you might think. But in my particular case, I'm honest enough about it. I have realized that to recognize that there's nothing. The only reason I have not made every restitution that I've made is only because I have done, not because of the injury them or others.
The end of the chapter 9, I think, is really beautiful, the way it said it. Above all, we should try to be absolutely sure that we are not delayed because we are afraid. For the reason to take the full consequences of our past acts and take responsibility for the well-being of others at the same time is the very spirit of that time. And this is what he's talking about, I think, emotional maturity to be able to do these things. The principle that I found is that 9 are charity, good judgment, courage, prudence, complete willingness, and self-discipline. Now, if we have time, I'd like to tell my friend about your minister, but it took me long to mention it. His name is not here on the list for a while, and then it is, I am wrong. But then my mind said, well, I'll put him on the list because the such that I will never make mention of him. And I stayed that way for, you know, 30 years. But I did, it was really bothering me. I really had some issues in between. And it was all he said that day, and I was just talking to him because what he said that day. I went to him to ask him for help if he had anybody at the church that had, you know, the drink problem, please refer him to us. And I told him about the name of the day. And he, it's a great big church, and he said, oh, thank you, but he didn't have anybody with that problem in his church. And I said, and I got possessed, okay? And I said, well, you read it. And he said, well, not a ton of me. And I said, you know, really, they don't know what you talk about. Oh, they're afraid to come to you. And we talked about it, okay? And he looked at a little card and said that he knew all about us and all about it. And his growth came out of him. And then he said, it's too bad that alcoholics are so selfish and self-involved that they never get outside of themselves enough to go and have anybody else. And I just burned up. I was so mad at that man, and I said, I will do something. I have been raised and born in the best church, and I have done everything there is to do here. And I never grew spiritually until I got to the moving on. And I turned on my heels and left it all this resentment inside me and taking that guy and that little slide and watching those people, you know, about that out of there. And I turned it for a number of years. The first thing I had just a friend for him, and I went to, I did. And the first thing that happened, I got a little easy because he was okay if he was still there, then his name, leave me alone, and I'm not here. And then the strange thing happened. One of his deacons was an alcoholic and ended up in the day. And I heard that man make talk on the step one day, and I had to admit that it was a good idea. So then my mind changed a little bit, and I thought, well, you know, he knows he has done a good job where he is, and he does a good job with those people, and that's fine. And then I knew then I was going to have to make it, but I was going to use the rationalizing and say that I would hurt him. I would re-injure him if I told him how I really go about him. But one day, and this took some years, but one day, I was moving, and I was not thinking about his name, and had no interest in doing it, but it was given to me how to and how to play it, and I had a real feeling of forgiveness that day, for doing all these things I had to see it was happening. And I knew exactly how I talked to him, exactly what to say, and I knew I had to do it. I had to do it. I had been rationalizing and saying, well, I'm just running to him sometime, and I'll be more calmer, and I can do this about 10 minutes, and I'll get done back like that. Well, I learned a lesson. If you got a mean back somebody tonight, then you call him and lay upon him. So you learn to raise his mind, and tell him the truth. Oh, I got it. As soon as I knew how to do it, much hurry, and called and got on the phone appointment. I had called and canceled the appointment because children and family affairs. You can do it without injuring another person. I think that's all I have to say on that.
Okay, if you remember, and this is a sort of thing that most of you did, the last paragraph, now they come from the last two paragraphs. Yeah, they'll deal with all the coming out process, and they do not come until after. They didn't talk about it until after we have done the things recommended from step one down through step nine. But it's all in here that's pretty good. This is not all promises. Today, you mentioned it. It was announced last night, this morning, sometime, and I have listened, read a little, and it's back in that edition for you. And it's about more than that chapter, and in this chapter, the book is full of things that will happen if you continue to follow instructions. It says, we're painstaking about this phase of our development, and the phase that they're talking about is step one through step nine. If we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not depart the past nor wish to shut the door. We will comprehend your serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the stairway we've gone, we will see how our experience can lift others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in self-esteem and gain interest in our fellows, self-seeking those in the way. Our whole attitude and outlook on life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will lose. We will intuitively know how to have situations which use us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these exciting processes? They are being fulfilled on us, sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly, but they will always materialize if we work for them. This brings us to step 10.
And the way.
Let's have about 10 minutes. Here we go. One more step to that. I want to read one thing about step 10. It has to be with the restitution. It has to be a nice step, the restitution part. And I mentioned the fact that there are times that we really can't make restitution, but I did not give this city example. And I raised D because he and I talked about this to give you a specific example of when we cannot impose our setback in the personality and lives of some people we harm. And I raised D to the heaven and the
before I obey thee in the heart, I mean, God's great new people in this program, I didn't have to treat it March 1965. Before I and I met and married, I spent time in service and I married a young woman there. And we were married for some years, and it was bringing me good to sour and eat. And I got to drinking a little bit more than my next wife even realized at the time, and I got to run this lady doing things I probably should have done. At any rate, marriage was becoming great. It was good to bitter, and a lot of anger, some heartbreak perhaps, and a family that just needed me. Okay, I felt badly about it, but wasn't anything I could do about it. Now it comes 6 or 7 years later, in fact, time, and I'm sober, member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm right now of step 8 and 9. And I have a name on the list, and the desperate need to make some amends. I have seen it wasn't something that I could take off and do, and I didn't watch it about it, so I went to a man that he was called, and done for, and asked him what he thought I should do about it. And he said, in fever, more or less, see, there's not one single thing that you can do here. This lady has been married, there's a child, she has a life of her own, a family, or she wants to be happy. You don't have a right to try to protect yourself by putting yourself right back in her new life and letting up all the laws she's got clear behind. Witness is the only thing that you guys can use. And wait, if it's God's will, time will come, you can. Meanwhile, all you can do is wait. And I knew that's not fairly unusual, but the one that said, the fishery wasn't one thing, and I had a hell of time until I finally got some words of advice from somebody who knew what he was talking about.
Secondly, I couldn't give a better example than Egypt gave. I'd appreciate that, David. Really. Strength test says that we continue to take personal inventory, and then we were wrong to probably admit. You shut this down.
I was thinking about some. My first experience was that I did do it to begin with, and God started coming in. And the reason that I did do it was that I really knew it all wrong. It's always hard to do it wrong, you always think you're right. And God kept coming into the Al-Anon room and saying, when do I want to start taking a big step? And he kept on doing that, and I had to do it. I really got embarrassed about it, and I had to face the fact. I just did speak, and I would say, I'm sorry. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm sorry. And he said, I didn't have to do it. You got to admit you're wrong. And somehow, it was a lot easier for me to say I was sorry than to say I was wrong. And so I just let do it, and finally it just bugged me so, and I don't know if it was really talking to me about why I took it, and I sure was, and I knew I had to start doing it. And I would continue, you know, with myself and taking words, I just couldn't get around to saying I was wrong. And I found out that the longer you put it off, the harder it is. And I would put it off until I just didn't do it. So I just didn't do it good enough. And one day I finally took a deep breath and mustered up my courage, asked God to help me, and I started admitting as soon as I said that I was wrong. One of the beautiful things that I found out about that, and then, you know, when you start practicing it, it's not that hard to do, and you get in the habit of it, and it's easier. And I did. I found out that this can cut down on more arguments. Now, all they want you to do is say you're wrong anyway. And when you admit you're wrong, then there's nothing else to talk about. And I found out that this can eliminate more arguments than anything. Just say, no, God, it was wrong. And something else that kind of changes things that I really like is that when somebody is telling you something, and you really don't know, rather than committing yourself to the way you say, you may be right. You may be the way it is. And then there's not much else to do. There's not much more arguing that can go on. So that was really neat for me when I finally started seeing that I wasn't wrong. It all goes back to self-examination and being honest and looking at yourself as you really are. And then when things keep coming up and you keep getting uncomfortable, there's a spiritual act that I've forgotten about where it is in here. But it's always enough. Another thing that I found that I wanted to put in, at the bottom of the first page, it says, there's no kind of hangover which we all experience, whether we agree or not. That is the emotional hangover, the direct result of yesterday's and sometimes today's excesses of negative emotions, anger, fear, guilt, and love. If we live during today's tomorrow, we certainly need to eliminate these hangovers. And in another place, I read, the emotional hangover leads to spiritual blackout. And I don't want any more of those in my life. And for me, to admit that I'm wrong as soon as I can is the greatest freedom in the world. And then I just was into it, and I don't have to be worried about it. I used to, I was so insecure that I could not admit that I was wrong. And I thought that people would like me if I was wrong. I might not like me one better if I had courage to say that I was wrong. And I heard somebody say, you know, you have a right to be wrong. And that's a good freedom for me to realize I have to be right all the time. Sure, I make mistakes. And we learn and profit from our mistakes. And the things they've also said, that this is a program of profit, not perfection. And as we go on, I believe that we continue to grow, meaning we continue to admit that we're wrong. And it makes me feel good to do it. And I think that I have not made all day basis as far as continuing to do inventory. I wish I did it better. I can take her off it down and write out the book inventory. It also brings up a number of different kinds of inventory. There's a spot check inventory. And let's say any time of the day where we find ourselves getting tangled up. And then there's the kind we do a day in when we review the happenings of our day. And here we take a balance sheet, clipping our stuff that's not well done, and following up debt for you. Then there are those occasions when a loan or income our sponsor or official advisor, we make a careful review of our profits since the last time. That's part of what I've written for what I'm talking about. And then AA go in for annual or semi-annual counseling. Many of us also like the experience of occasional retreat from God.org where we can quiet down for an undisturbed day or so of self-control and meditation. So all of these kinds of inventory are very beneficial, and if you're hurting enough, we do it, and that's what I do.
No. In the sense that it says that we come to believe the power greater than ourselves can serve us. This that suggests to me that we do not return to a state of sanity, you know, overnight. That it could not be a quite long process. And the length of the process usually be in direct proportion to the application of things we learn and the preceding aspects. Now, but it does tell us that we will come to believe that it will happen to us. And in the tenth step is when we are told that we have now returned to a state of sanity. It says, let's see right there. We are ceasing anything or anyone, even alcohol, or at this time, sanity will have returned. Now, we never, prior to this time, prior to A, we never could discern within the good operating as opposed to the bad operating, insofar as the decision factor. And that caused part of our insanity. But you see, by this time, the full form of the commitment that God makes us through the program has come to be true in our life, and we do have a return of sanity. And as I told you before, I'll be disguised sanity. We now use that in our consent. But by this time, sanity will have returned. And then is one of the most magnificent things that happens in our whole capacity in our life. We will seldom be interested in it. If anything, we recoil from it as if from a flame. We react singly and normally to these conditions, and we will find that this is heaven on earth. We will say that our new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. You see, again and again and again, we're reminded, as an example in 6 or 7 seconds, when we could not help being what we had become. And all of a sudden now, we have a new attitude and a new outlook about food. And we didn't create the attitude that had been deciding it's a gift. God said to you and I, we're alcoholic, that we don't have to determine on a daily basis, or we don't have to discern ourselves on a daily basis about drinking or not drinking. We're plainly told that the attitude has to do with drinking or not drinking is not our own, but has been given us by our Creator. It has been given us without any thought or effort on our part, it just comes. That is the miracle of it. We're not praying, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had a taste in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We're not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. You see, you and I were not the ones to remove the problem. Back in chapter 7, we ask God to remove these things from our life and humbly recognize that He and He alone has the power to change human life, and it has not ever been given to us. And see that the problem with that problem has been removed exactly like these other things by His grace. When we're talking, are we afraid? That is our experience, and this is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition.
I've been sort of positive in step 10, and I like to say this couple here on Tuesday night. We have entered the world of the Spirit. That's where we're from. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It is to continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to dismiss them. And then we discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. And then some principles, then we turn our thoughts to someone who can help love and tolerance of others is our code. Then on the next page, this is another promise. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed direction, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. We have begun to develop the vital sixth sense. So those are His promises for this. It's a continuing work step and continuing.
How about participation? Questions?
And there's another place, I believe there's another place that it seems to be very loud and strong, but I've been here for a long time. And that's if I come across my mind with a bad idea, and believe it or not, or part of the truth or not true at all, and I come across the truth, I'm not going to change. To admit I was wrong, to accept a new idea as part of my being, and I'm going to wind up a dogmatic fool or drunk bum. And I've asked you to make that change. To accept the fact that my idea is just bad.
This is
where
I'm going to go. It is a spiritual axiom. That every time we are disturbed, no matter what the cause, there is something wrong with us. That puts it right back on us every time. We're responsible for spreading our prayers, and no one else is. No one is hurt unless we allow them to. The principles of step 10, I have written down steadfastness and purpose, vigilance, self-searching, courtesy, kindness, justice, love, self-restraint, honesty, willingness, and hope.
I have a mother that I can visit for prayer. I think that's personal wisdom.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can ask for advice. But only I can learn to say that I'm making that honor to my boss and allow me to go with my
boss.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, you remember last night, that I mentioned to you the thought processes that have to do with making. And in two different ways. When I first came to the program, this is before I came to the program, my thoughts, I was concerned about thinking about drinking. And I thought about drinking for quite some time. Day. Some days, many times during the day, I thought, God, I just could drink. You know? So I thought about drinking. And then, as I became a little involved in our program, then I started thinking about not drinking. You know? And did you know that it's nearly as painful to talk about thinking about not drinking all the time as it is about drinking? There have been asked two other areas in my life that I thought about doing. Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't. And then I decided to go there, whatever it might be. Can you imagine what a drag would be to go around thinking all the time about not doing it? I have found that if I continue in the thought process, I think about not doing something, just like I ultimately find myself doing it. And it is such a magnificent thing that we're getting. And it really happened to me. This is one of the things that came to me in the sequence of the steps. along about the same, 8:19, which is somehow after I come to Carver. It suddenly dawned on me one day that I had not thought about drinking, nor had I given any consideration about not drinking for weeks. Instead, the problem had been removed. And, you know, I became aware of what was in his book about the same time as I had to. And I used to make this a thing. This is a gift beyond a hurl of bay rice. We have not been sworn off drinking. Instead, the problem is in it. They had a much easier way for us to experience not drinking. Instead of thinking about drinking or thinking about not drinking, is that the entire problem for you. Now, in closing on the 10th set, the summation of this particular step, as it relates to every preceding step after first empty enough of shots, I'd imagine one more time that I can come to the problem of our shots, or you or anyone else, and totally disbelieve that your thirst, your hunger, or your need for alcohol will ever be removed. And you can come to us this week, knowing beyond knowing that it's possible maybe to become back, but you will always want to drink. If you will only follow the directions, you will come to see, as I and thousands of others have been, we've come to believe, because of our absolute knowing that our problem is really to be removed. As we move into the last phase of the process, which becomes the only problem that we have left in the world, is living life. And that is a living problem and has a living answer. And that's what we experience from this point on.
I have a few things I want to bring up. Pain is the touchstone of all spiritual progress. And we always have to very same the world society. And most will come off before sin. They just come one after the other. So we have to experience both sides of the coin. Something else. Christ will anger jealous, anxious, and fearful. We act accordingly, that is bad. Here we need to recognize that he did after things added. And then, try to visualize how we might have done better. And resolve, with God's help, to carry these lessons forward tomorrow, making it forth in him. Now that is part of what I'm talking about. Going back and reliving the diet, errors, and the stuff. And that finishes healing. Examine carefully our motives in each thought or act that appear to be wrong. And another thing that I'm going to talk about here is seeing how wrong we are in a very positive way. Now that sounds strange, but for me, I just put down myself. I couldn't have done it wrong because I had such a low energy and such low self-esteem, but I couldn't do it.
Thank you, Sandy, right? This is some kind of hurt I'm saying. I think this new event life is taking us too seriously. It really is okay to be wrong. And the people who take themselves too seriously are the ones who mean for to be wrong. And it is capable to be wrong. And you know, when I probably said, no, you're wrong, I hated to be wrong, and I could not let my attention down to the group necessary to tell you that, yeah, man, I'm wrong. Even people who, not frequently, infrequently, mess up. And in the coming time, I'm back. So I really blew that deal. I can imagine that my dad said this. But it's too late at that point. They're charging home again, and they're well, for that circumstance. And they don't have time, and they can't put pleasure of letting it and it's up here, you might be wrong. There's still too many things to do the good thing in their life today, and they admit their system properly and move on into a new area of existence. And they don't take that as a serious house in their life, because they recognize they're wrong, they're confident, and they move on into the world. Any other questions before we shut it up today? We're vital people to listen to all that. And it's my hope that you are really happy to tell this about right now. All right.
Our Father,
Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Remember that it starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. I think we're in the name of true delight. If they have taken the business, let's just leave that out. I didn't get to a question. Since the president needed to sleep, I asked him, just exactly what, you know, here's how I say, you got 4 hours, shoot, sir, we'll take off, just get our own little bed, and I'll get 5 hours, sir. Right, he obviously was in balance.
Next point,
you might be wrong, but never get it. Thank you. Sorry. You know, I, it's a day of wonder to be so glad you're listening to that. And, you know, say something, there's absolutely no meaning to that. I didn't just whatever comes to that. And, well, we got to come believe that there is no disrespect to the rest of you. And, here came a good sense and said, like, you know, and I really did it. Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah. All these bad poor guys, it didn't quite matter. You know, that was a joke. Oh, my gosh, we had a lot of laughs. Yes, sir. It's just been so totally successful. And, I don't need to have you know, I think it is a signal of actually adding to this. And one of the things that I'm so impressed with, and I truly am, you know, is the people who are here. It's obvious that you're dedicated to the process of gaining the maximum benefit from the Lord. And you are the select. You truly are the select. And you have created this issue from your own self. I don't know who told you, or what you know the words about, but you have meaning to see today. That the good is often the greatest enemy of the best. And you're not going to be satisfied with that page in your life. And if you know that condition, you know your own conditions. I had it. I want all the things done, you know, to timely, if it's not that for me, I want to, you know, meet every week. I want to do all of those things. But a weekend of this nature, the number of hours somebody has traveled, that is something bigger than the fact that the fact that just don't see what somebody determined. There's joyful letters that come as a result of the king from our first lunch. And you see, I think it's such an honor to dance to do sex and sit here and see you and hit someone in the 11th generation. What? This one is clear. I'm sorry, it's been 11. I don't have anything. I'm going to plan chapter 5. So, prepare meditation to improve our conscious conduct with our meditation. Praying only for knowledge of result of us in the current area. I'm going to talk about it just a little bit. And we'll come back to it, mostly talk a little bit. And I'm going to talk about some hands on it. This, I live again in one of the sets. I was in the April years before I was adult, and we knew about that at the young. And it's just a set, and I've got any new words, but I really had not kind of feeling for it. That's the word I want to use. I've got to use that. I don't have a real feeling for something. I did not have a real feeling for this. But it says, sit salt and prayer and meditation to improve our conscious conduct with God. The very first word in the set is indicative of the fact that we have quite found it. That we are on a search that goes on and on and on. And with each new discovery, we add to this knowledge that we have a man. I've lived an idea man, you know, surrounded by easy conversation. Because we're on a long, long search. It's a constant looking out for. And these are these things are done on a right now basis. We're seeking our search, sought through prayer and meditation to improve. Now, when we actually improve, this indicates that there's been a previous conscious contact made. And my master wasn't good enough right the second time, it'll come to you before the year, I hope, to tell you. When the book says that you got the first, and I've got to remember which one the second one is said, and look, maybe we'll do it this way. Don't you all find out? That's probably the best discussion you're all week. Yeah, I can't do it, but I can't remember. So to prayer and meditation to improve on something that we already accept, okay? So this tells us that we finally started the ball game in the referee blowing whistle. And the ball game has already started in one of the players. And we need to practice until we get a lot better at what we're about to do today. We seek through prayer and meditation to improve on something that's already accepted. To improve what? Our contact with God. And for me, this is another one of my favorite things. So remember, second, what I mean, conscious contact. So to prayer and meditation to improve the contact that I am consciously aware of its existence. And I have a feeling from the contact made. Literally have a feeling that the contact has been established and I know how about thoughts of prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact. I am consciously aware of what I'm doing, I'm consciously aware of what I'm experiencing in my prayer and my meditation. This, I believe, requires a dedication of concentration to be consciously aware of what we're doing. So to prepare the meditation to improve on something that's already set, to improve a conscious contact. And God is what is I understand. I give him the latitude to find my own understanding of God. God is I understand. And God has special powers over the lives of the first people of course of nature. That really is the understanding of God. Praying only for knowledge of his will for us, the power to carry it out. I am not a bad God, but I don't think I'm the best type of job. Understanding all of us God could say. And how in each of the four steps, or each of the regions, that's back to chapter 8, that's back to chapter 8, there is always a concrete and valid relationship between chapter 8 and each of the steps of following. It says, praying only the knowledge of his will for us. Do you remember the step 2 that we talked about, turning that thing over to the very kingdom of God at that time as we understand it? Whatever understanding we establish between ourselves and God, as that's right, we turn our will to thank the right case coming all that time. And we gave him the right at that time to become our desire. Okay? Now, what is it we pray for? Our consciously aware for knowledge of his will. It will help you that we learn to listen to this new desire. And the way we get better at listening to the new desire is through practice. And as the days go by, we continually make effort through the conscious awareness of what we're about. And we learn to listen, and we start hearing. And we intuitively, this is one of the promises, we intuitively know how to handle things that have always about us. Because we're consciously aware of what we're about. And then we ask him to give us the power to carry these instructions out that are passed on by our new desire.
I was writing up here that I don't think that's there, but that's for me. I set a time and I just and that's first thing first. Put God first. And I've been saying that I have used for years, nothing on the top shelf for God. And if I have God first in my life, then all the other things go come to be in a life that I've got tremendously suffered. I had two stories on what have I had before God in my life. Because I had many, many things before God in my life. And one of the necessary things for me is to remember God right there on top shelf. And then these other things that I want in my life. And anything that I had to surrender that I really wanted in my life, I thought, that was my God. Whatever, if one of what your God is, ask yourself, what do I give my attention to during that? What do I give my most attention to? And that is your God. And you know, I had a lot of Bob and clothes, and house, and car, and children, and I had a lot of them. I had to look at anything. And many of the things I have had to give up. But go to the process again and surrendering. But what I discovered was that usually when we surrender that we can keep it, money was a very important thing to my God. When I could surrender these things and give up, then I could have them back if I could keep them in the proper place. But, and these, when Scripture said, I shall have no other gods for me, I came to experience that is the truth for me. And anytime I tried to other things up there before God, I didn't know, marriage, husband, home, a family, whatever, I have learned my lesson, I hope, from that. And I'm going to love them. A lot of pain again, because I wasn't willing to fulfill the conditions. And, you know, we have to do a lot of things, and make us willing to fulfill conditions, and it gives up this self-will that we talked about so much. And speaking only, God will go in our life, and to include this conscious contact, like the power of his energy, and all these steps, we're learning how to put in that house. And this is the step that really does keep this house. It keeps plugged in that house, the conscious contact with God, and he continues to see it. On a daily basis. And if we don't, we start falling away, and you might get by with it for a few days, but it doesn't take long until things are out of kilter in our mind. We have daily retreat, attention on the maintenance of our fit spiritual condition. And I have to have prayer and meditation practically at least once a day, sometimes 4 times a day, maintain. And sometimes things happen in my life that I go and do something else before I get it done. And it's just better. When I did, the best example that comes right now is when we're building our house here. And a plumber or an electrician or somebody came early before I had my school step time. And Bob went down to get in, I put up the floor, grabbed there. Everything was wrong. The plumber had the plumbing wrong, with the water machine, and the electrician had done something wrong, and it was just a mess. The whole morning was just a mess. And after we gone through all this, I said, what's the matter? What went wrong? And I thought, I'm here to tell you this morning. I'm here to get my conscious contact going. And I know, and have learned all this time and time again, the most important thing for me to do is to make my conscious contact with God. We do the first 3 steps, and the 11th. Sometimes going through the 11th, but always first 3, and then 11th. And that is no way. And that is one of the tools that the program can give me. The 11th step in the Daniel 12 says that prayer and meditation are the conscious contact with God. Another thing that I learned along the way was that if we pray for knowledge, he will, and the power to carry out. If it is his will, and we pray for knowledge of it, and pray for the power to carry out, then the power will be there. Yes, it is his will. So if the power is not there, here's my two sons. That is a good sign that it would be good anyway. If I fall flat on my face, and I'm just determined to know that this is God's will, and I fall flat on my face, and God is good for me to know to open the door and look at right, that's the way for me to know. Well, I did this. I was wrong, and I made a mistake. This is not God's will. And because the power is there, and you go easily and smoothly through it, if it's the will, and you pray for knowledge of his will, and you pray for the power to carry out. So don't be hard on yourself about it. It's okay to make mistakes, it's okay to make it wrong. And so just say, well, okay, I'll start over again. And one of these things is we can start over as many times as needed. And if you don't start over, better get. You might be losing this thing, you know, let's change it. So just start over every time you need to. And start over once. And go over again. Every time I use it, quickly, when I was having trouble making my contact any other step, I would start over once. And then we go through steps. And the time I got to 11, everything was in proper place and everything was out of the way. And I like, oh, it's in. I was out of my way. My step was out of the way. And my problems were out of the way. And everything was in proper perspective. So I was ready to practice step 7. There are many, many ways to practice the 11th step. And I found the many of them. And whatever fits you and works for you is your right way for right now. And I literally tell us that, that perhaps you need, that you will be a better, whatever you are, as far as the church is concerned. Or maybe you find a new, or maybe you don't even go to church. But that is not a prerequisite of experiencing God. And in the 11th step, if we don't have a spirit with God, and we don't feel this presence, then we're just wrong. And it doesn't mean that you can't have it, it just means keep on trying and try another way, be open to other ways. One of the first place I started was just 10 to 5. And I would get a few books with 24 hour book and another little clue, and I would have my client, and I would read my little book, and then sit and think about what he said. And I learned along the way. And whatever speaks to you in the reading, and you want to read the Bible, the Bible, whatever, a spiritual nature, then in the reading, whatever speaks to you, and what I mean is that your insides respond to, that the lower, the higher than you respond to, then that's your cue to close your eyes and meditate on that. And take that in, and make that a part of you, just like you take physical food into your body. This is our spiritual food that we're getting, that sustains and changes and makes us whole. So take that into your thinking and your feeling and into your body until you really know and feel what I mean. There's a name for this, and it's called contemplation. You contemplate the things of God, and that's a step in meditation. You contemplate the things of God that things that some people say they stand out like electrified. You read something and your inside is just, that's right. And you get a feeling that this is right and this is the way for you. And this is what we're talking about. This is our map of the day. The things we have to eat that the world must know. And that's the way we see ourselves. Now, we might say something like that, it's up and all that, or a week you might use it for meditation, or it might just be for that day. A day does not necessarily mean that 24 hour period and don't fight. So, and as long as that particular way and that particular word or phrase is working for us, then we need to apply it and use it and make it part of us. Have you ever, when you sit down, make it, your mind is gone in circles and you can't get still and you think, I will give it to me. I and I really didn't have anybody telling me the right way. I just try one way and another. But I thought that I was just a blank. And I didn't put it off. I could not put off my mind. And I just, at every time that I was the best I could, my reading and being still. And I didn't have much witness. I couldn't do much witness. I could just contemplate. But listening, I couldn't get my still. So, this is what I did that worked for me in the early years. I had made a decision, and I suppose it was maybe more like a strong commitment decision, like a promise to God, a covenant with God, that whatever I thought that He wanted me to do, that I would do, and let chips fall in that, and I would do it. And this was a very, very important thing to do. And so I would write these things down, as something would seem to come to me as I would be still and try to meditate. I would write them, and so I had a bad temple by my mind. So when the thing started, my mind got busy. And I was some things because my mind didn't have anything to do with what I was trying to do. Like, oh, I hope I don't get picked off pants with me and see what has to fit. I've got to matter about everybody. I did all these things, the business of the mind. Oh, and it was consuming and take over so that I couldn't get my mind clear to do the things that I wanted to do. So what I started doing, I made a list of the things that I knew that I was supposed to do that day and do it right point of and do this and do that. And as soon as I wrote down, then I was free of it because it was out here on my paper and I didn't worry about it anymore. There it was when I got through, and I would do those things. So some of them were things that I felt like I wanted to do, and some of them were things that I needed to do. And God was worship. So I had to do God's things first. And sometimes it would be just to call somebody and call my legitimate face. Sometimes it would be just to write a letter to this person and tell them. It might just be to realize that they're a child of God and the hope God is in that person. But whatever it was, I was told to do that. I felt like I was telling that is what I did first things first. God is first. Then the other thing was all in place. If I did those things first, it always been amazing how all the other things I thought don't have that always been today. They just fall in place and I could have done always putting God first. So with that, I began to learn his mind still. And all his busyness left my mind. Here was right here. I didn't have to concern myself anymore with remembering to do that. It was not totally me or between me. Then things would come to mind that were wretched. Sometimes God and I found it. And the rest told me. And to relax the body, we need this. To get rid of the body bothering. I used to get rid of the body. That's not exactly right. We need to get rid of the consciousness of our body. The sitting erect, back leg, then cross the feet, because it's a comfortable position when you're used to it. And that is the easiest way to not let the body bother you and not have to wear the body. You know, shifting positions all the time. I can stretch it. So all those things are passes and mechanics that are very helpful along the way. See what I mean?
Let's talk about mechanics. Or learning process, how it is. And I found that mechanics was the most important thing of all in telling the mechanics is. But, you know, and you have to read yourself in any American to possibly tell. You know, and getting the read up, go and do that certain version, saying, I want to learn to pay and don't know how. But maybe you already know more about prayer than you think you do. You know, you may might know more about it than you think. But read yourself in the embarrassment that could be called in it. If I would make June Davis, and go to your spiritual advisor, your AA sponsor, whoever you think, and ask him about prayer. Go to a person who's a person that you're pretty sure preach. You know, I really do know people that will not ask how to pray. And if I was saying, but there's lots of things, so it helps me. I do. And incidentally, we believe what we've been talking about. We believe what we discussed this weekend. We also know that they are doing the very best they can with what they've got to do with it, just like you know. The third step in the 11th chapter is when the question comes, it's most repeated, how do you know what God will? And our name is certainly given, but an adequate and complete and clear description of our understanding. In A means from coast to coast, it's in the state of the sense. The most often asked question, my memory, is how do I know what God will is me? It's required. It's first in step three, as repeated in step 11, the explanation. And before we start asking what is God's will for us, we should first know what the requirement is. And the first requirement is that, this is on page 6, the very first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will cannot be a success. That's the first requirement. Before we start the learning process, you know, anything that has requirements that, you need to know what the requirement is before you bother yourself, and that won't get the procedure to start. The requirement is you know done, that your life is being run on the basis of self-will. It's not going to be a success. You're not going to find it. All of that is impressive. So the first requirement is here. Talking about Tom Powers, but the message is supposed to be here. It's titled First Message on the Last Street. And I presume it was about 20 years ago, now it's the number with portions of that book about Cilicia. And he says that those people had no idea about prayer. The novices, spiritual models of the world. You know, the big third looker at the wrong age, the sort of sacking if you poke it. Jerry, you might not be out of that place yet. The reason why I believe Brother's man looks so well received by people like me, is simply because he got right down to the degree of a prayer. And an introductory thought process by prayer is simply this: God, I'm fixing to pray. So, God, I'm just about to start praying, and I really don't know what's going on. And he's asking, well, can't do there. No, I think that's the expression that we're typified of the person I also know. The thing they have to use about it is that they don't listen. God gives a high source to us daily. You know, every father around. And we really need guidance. We need all the help that is possible to get external sources and inner sources. Tom Power says, mechanically, go to a place that you can psychologically and physically be alone. Pick a room in the house that has a lock on the door. This is the physical mechanically that has a lock on the door. Think about myself, ask, and let's all be honest. Who is in the room today? And there really are 5 or 6 items. So we won't be embarrassed by raising our hands. But who is in this room that would not be embarrassed or have any feeling whatsoever if you are in a strange place around strange people and were caught by a large spook praying on your knees? Who would be embarrassed? Who would not be embarrassed? You know, that's one of them. There's very few answers. If there's most of us would be embarrassed. Okay, Tom Powers said, psychologically and then can lock out the world. So you lose yourself out of the off chance. Marcelline talked about it, you know, if something bad was facing, she wrote it down. And then she put it for the period of time. Tom Power says, in addition to that, lock the door. You have to worry about the embarrassment that arrives. You need to comfort him. Later on, you may not be free to embarrass. And this is one of the unbelievable wonders of our program offers us. It shows us that we all start as boxes, and it's only a learning process, and none of us are ahead of the others. We only broaden our experience, so no one is ahead. It's just a broadening effect. And it's not about up and down. Or, you know, we'll have a group over here in one, and another group in class 3, and novices and experts. There is only a broadening of our individual and personal experience when God speaks to us as we understand him. Fantastic, man. We don't have to be great. They don't second us. Put us over here and say they're better at this than that group.